Well, I'm sharing on the subject of divine guidance, and we've talked about how that God is constantly leading us. We simply need to learn how to heed the lead of God in our lives. He's constantly speaking to us. We simply need to discern and learn the voice of God. So we've looked at how God speaks and the many different ways that He speaks and the language of the Spirit. And now I want to talk about in this session, how do I know this is God speaking to me? How do I judge it? How do I discern? Is this just me, or is this the Spirit of God leading me? Is this just the voice of my past or some voice in the world that I'm sensing? Or is this the voice of God in my life? And how do we judge that? How do we discern that? Also, we need to look at the fact that it's okay to test whether or not you're hearing God. It's okay to judge, was this dream that I had of God? Was this vision I had of God? Was this voice I think I heard, was it God? It's okay to test those things. It's okay to judge those things. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, the scriptures talk about the tithes and the offerings and how we need to bring all the tithes and offerings into the house of God. And God says, prove me to see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you can't contain. I've heard that my whole life, and many times right after that's quoted or read, we hear that this is the only place in Scripture where we're to test God, where we're to prove God. Now, I'm not being mean about this. I may have even said that. I've got over 30 million messages out there, and if I've said this on one of them, please, please call us, let us know, because we will edit that out of that CD, amen? So I'm not being mean here. I'm simply saying it's not true to say this is the only place in the Bible we can test God. We can prove God. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, the scriptures say, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits to see whether or not they are of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. There's a New Testament scripture that says you're not to believe every spirit. You're under commandment not to believe every spirit, but to try the spirits, whether or not they are of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, to prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. God wants you to test things. He wants you to prove things, all things, and to hold fast to that which is good. In 1 Corinthians 14, 29, it says that there are prophets among us, or those that can prophesy, let them speak, one or two or at most three, and then let the others judge. We have to judge what is said publicly. We have to evaluate it. We have to discern, is this God? Is this just my own imagination? If an angel appeared here today and spoke on behalf of God, we would have to judge it. Well, Pastor, we don't need to judge that. I felt all warm and fuzzy. Well, drugs will make you warm and fuzzy. Not that I know experientially. All kinds of things can make you warm and fuzzy. Yeah, but it was a bright, shining light. The angel glowed, and I mean, it was just awesome. Well, that doesn't mean it's God. The devil manifests as a shining light. He's a deceiver. So we would have to judge what even an angel said. And if you felt warm and fuzzy, fine. You sit there and be warm and fuzzy. We'll put the angel in the corner to glow. But we're going to search the scriptures to make sure this is God speaking to us. Amen? It's okay to do that. We're commanded to do that. Well, again, how then do we judge it? Based on opinion, based on our group, based on our backgrounds, how do we judge if we're hearing the voice of God? Well, I gave you the principle of multiple witnesses in our last session. And those scriptures are up for you for your notes, and you can look those up. And basically, we are told in the Word of God to let every matter or every word be established by multiple witnesses, that many things cannot be judged and evaluated with one witness, but there has to be multiple witnesses. So this is the divine guidance system of God in our lives. This is God's GPS that He has given us multiple witnesses to confirm whatever voice you think you're hearing, to confirm whatever dream you had, to confirm whatever vision you had, or whatever prompting that you had. Jesus said in John chapter 5 that if he was the only witness of who he was not of the truth. That if he is the only witness or a single witness to who he is, we are not to believe him. But he said in that same chapter, chapter 5, verses 30 through 39, that he bore witness that he was the Son of God, the Messiah. John the Baptist bore witness that he was the Messiah. His works bore witness that he was the Messiah. The Father bore witness that he was the Messiah. And the Scriptures bore witness and testified that he was the Messiah, the Son of the living God. God didn't want you to put your faith, give your entire destiny into something that he wouldn't prove to you over and over and over again. God didn't ask us to give our entire lives over in blind faith. He gave us witness after witness after witness after witness that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, the one that came to save us from all our sins. Amen. Aren't you glad you don't have to waver whether or not he really is the Messiah, really is God, because of all the different witnesses? Well, God wants to give you multiple witnesses of his word in your life. And I want to cover those now for the next few sessions. Let's start again with the first witness and the primary witness of how God leads us, how God speaks to us. Number one, again, is the inner witness. And that's been our main text for 3 weeks now. And so that's the reference. Now, in the voice of God in your inner man, in the promptings of the Holy Spirit in your inner man, because it's important for us to understand, God is not necessarily leading his people from without anymore. That's the old covenant model. He's leading his people now from within. That's the new covenant model. God in the old covenant, listen, was on the outside trying to get in. God under the new covenant is on the inside trying to get out. And so we have to renew our minds to this New Testament, the New Covenant, and how God is leading from within. Now, in the decisions of life, they're going to fall into two primary categories, low-risk decisions and high-risk decisions. There are many low-risk decisions that we make every day that do affect the quality of our lives. And we don't have to have multiple witnesses on low-risk decisions. Low-risk decision would be if you feel like the Lord is speaking to you to go minister to somebody at church today. That's not going to hurt anybody. That's a low-risk decision, and you need to act quickly on that. If God puts somebody on your heart, go do that. If God gives you a name, like I've talked about over the past few weeks, and says, just give them a call, that's a low-risk decision. If you miss God, you're not going to hurt anybody. There's no harm, no foul. And that's one of the ways you learn if you're hearing God or not, is to test it. How do you test it? You mix faith with it. What does that mean? You do it. Give them a call. I had a man from the body call me last week. And I mean, his word that he had for me was such a confirming witness of what God has been speaking to me. It was overwhelming. In Phoenix, I had a conference just recently in Phoenix, Arizona, and we had a word from somebody I didn't even know. I had already borne witness in my inner man. God is leading me in this direction, but they were a confirming witness. They prophesied over us. But we want to hang on to stuff like that because that happened to be a high risk decision. And so we were waiting on God. Well, the call was so right on, God had used terminology in the prophecy that was different kind of terminology, and nobody knew but Sue and I. We hadn't told a soul. And when I took the voicemail, the brother that called me, it went to my voicemail, and I took it to Sue, and Sue teared up when she heard the word that brother gave us. Now, for him, it was a low risk. He had nothing to lose. What if he misses God? It's no big deal. But what if he hurt God? It caused our faith to soar, and Sue teared up. Listen, Sue doesn't cry. She did tear up, though, bless God. It's kind of like me. I don't sweat. I glisten, amen. But for Sue to tear up, I mean, it was huge in our lives. Just a simple low-risk decision. He didn't have to fast about that. He didn't have to pray, and he didn't need multiple witnesses. It was a low-risk decision. If God speaks to you today and tells you to give me $100, just do it. Those of you that are new, I'm just kidding. Don't give me any money. The point is, God will speak to you in promptings and leadings, and they're low risk. Just go ahead and step out and just realize that you're not infallible. You're going to make mistakes, but in a low risk decision, you're not going to get hurt and you're not going to hurt anybody. A high risk decision, however, needs multiple witnesses. And it's okay to wait on God and see some of these witnesses line up. I'm going to give you, 14, 15 witnesses that work in my life constantly. And I don't have to have all 15 of them in a high risk decision, but I need at least three. And in some cases, I've waited for four or five of these witnesses to line up to what I think God's saying in my spirit. And that's what's kept me from missing God in the high risk decision. Getting married is a high risk decision. Can I get a witness? Selling your house is a high risk decision. Moving, quitting your job and moving off to another state, that would be a high risk decision. And you need multiple witnesses that God is leading you in those things. So number one, again, is the inner witness. Number two is the scriptures. Is the scriptures. God will speak to you out of the scriptures, and God will use the scriptures to confirm what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life, what the Holy Spirit is saying in your life, how the Holy Spirit is leading you. Listen carefully. God's Holy Ghost, and it's Holy Ghost for us that are older. For the young people, it's Holy Spirit. But it's the Holy Ghost, amen? Amen. The Holy Ghost will never violate the Holy Scriptures. So whatever you think God is saying, whatever dream you have, whatever vision you may have, whatever prompting you may have, it will not violate the Scriptures. Psalms 119:105 says, God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's direction. While God knows your end at your beginning, and while God declares your end at your beginning, He doesn't always reveal the end at the beginning. He gives you a little bit at a time as you are mature enough to act in it. And so the way the Word works in our heart and lives, the way the Scriptures work, is it's like a lamp unto our feet. It helps us take one step in faith. But notice when I take a step in faith, the lamp moves with me. So what I can't see right there, once I take a step of faith of what I do see right here in line with the Scriptures, now I can see there. The lamp goes before me. The light goes a little further ahead of me, but again, that's not as clear as each step as we walk by faith and not by sight. In the book of Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. See, the Scriptures become a way of life for us, dear ones. It's not a weekend experience where I give you a couple of Scriptures and we move on. No, we have the Word of God working in our daily lives because that's how God is leading us. It's how God speaks to us. God's Word is His voice in your life. And He'll speak to you right out of the Scriptures, or He'll give you a Scripture as you're praying and seeking Him as confirmation of His leading in your life. The next one is the book of Psalms 19, verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. He's talking about your understanding there. God's word will bring you understanding in what you think He's leading you by His Spirit in your inner man, the inner witness. In 1983, I had already begun my teaching ministry, and I had cassette tapes at the time, and I didn't know another model of how to do this, but that you sell the cassette tapes, and that offsets the cost and all that kind of thing, and there's nothing wrong with doing that. And so I came out of Bible school, and I was already teaching, and so we were capturing the messages and selling them, and I didn't have another model. I had heard of and known of a man named Keith Green that would give away his music, and that kind of spoke to my heart. I'd heard of a man named Andrew Walmack. I didn't know him personally and had heard some of his messages, but I didn't know how his ministry really worked and what free meant there. So I didn't really have a model. And of course, we've become friends now, but there was no model. And so I'm just hearing in my spirit to give them away, give my messages away for free. And I'm struggling with it. I'm thinking it's the devil and it's a trick and we'll go under and we'll be poor and we won't be able to do it. And so I'm fighting it. So then I'd be giving away cassette tapes if it was your birthday. If it's your birthday, you can have anything on the table. And then if it's your anniversary. And then I was feeling guilty trying to come up with new ways to give them away. And can I get a witness? For some people, just getting up and breathing is to be celebrated. Amen. We've all met people like that. And I didn't want to say that publicly. If you're still breathing and you got up today, man, we need to celebrate that. And so what do I do? Is this you, God? Or is this the devil? Or is this my own mind? And as I was seeking God, one night, the Holy Spirit would not leave me alone. I would wake up, and every time I would wake up, there'd be a scripture. I remember waking up, and immediately, John 3:16 just was there. For God so loved the world that he sold his only begotten son. That's not what it says, does it? It says that God gave his only begotten son. So watch this. God gave the most precious thing to him for you. And so the Spirit of the Lord would speak to me, what is the most precious thing in my life that I could give? It would be the Word of God. So I'd wrestle with it. I'd go back to sleep. I'd wake up. And as soon as I'd wake up, Luke chapter 6, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you again. And I would say, get thee behind me, Satan. The Word of God. I'm rebuking God. He's speaking to me, but it's in Scripture. And I'd wrestle with it. I'd go back to sleep and then wake up immediately. Galatians chapter 6. Don't be mocked. God's not going to be deceived. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. If you sow to your flesh, you reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life. God said, what do you want? He asked me a question. What do I want? You know, back then, I didn't realize how powerful that was. You know, he went to Solomon, and he asked Solomon one time, what do you want? I'll give you anything you want. I didn't realize how powerful this was till years later, and I looked back, and I told God, what I want is truth, and what I want is to be a voice to a generation and not an echo in my life. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, you can have anything you want. You just have to sow to it. So if I want truth, what do I need to do? I need to sow truth. If I want the Word of God, what do I need to sow? The Word of God. So I rebuked it again and went back to sleep. This just can't be God. It's a trick, and it just warring with it. Man, I wish I would have heard me back then and what you're hearing now. I could have slept that night. I could have been through with this immediately. Again, more and more scriptures coming to me. Finally, about 2 a.m. in the morning, I just shouted out loud, I'm going to do it in Jesus' name. And I woke Sue up, and Sue went, what did you agree to now? That's a wife that knows that her husband is constantly seeking God and getting us in trouble in a good way, amen? And so I agreed to give our stuff away. I'm just going to sow the Word of God freely. And you know, the next day, the peace I had, the joy I had, I'm going to share some of those things here in a minute. And I'm embarrassed to admit it, but the very next day when I got up, I thought, why did I war with this? Ain't nobody going to take them anyway. I'm not any good, so there's nobody going to take them. Man, that first month that Sue and I gave away 100 cassette tapes, I'm embarrassed to say this too, but we literally danced. We danced that money in. Back then, that was a lot of money, and it was big to give 100 cassette tapes away free. I did the pawpaw dance, and I don't have any kids here, so there's no one to embarrass. That's pretty powerful in our life to think that we thought it was a big thing to give away 100 in a month. Then it became 1,000 a month. Then it became 10,000. Then it became 100,000. Then it was 250,000 a month, 500,000 a month. Now we give anywhere from 650 to 800,000 messages a month free. Where did that start? The inner witness and then the Word of God confirming. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 through 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. See, the Word of God will instruct you on what the right thing to do is. That's what that said, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. So, listen to this carefully. What I'm doing right now is giving you God's Word, which will expand the language of God in your life. The more Scripture you know and the Spirit of the Word of God, I'm not talking about being religious. I'm not talking about the law and just King James Bible and you're a mean person. I'm talking about you know the Word of God, the Spirit of God's Word. All the Word you learn expands the vocabulary of God in your life. The more you learn God's Word, the more you hear God's voice. It makes you sensitive in your spirit man to the inner witness, and it'll be confirmation in your life you're hearing God. Number three, the third thing as a witness, God's divine guidance system, is God's love in our lives. God's love in our lives. How do I know this is God speaking to me? It will always lead me in love. How do I know this dream was God? It'll always have love in it. How do I know this vision is of God? It'll have love in it. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, the Bible says God is love. So if it's God speaking to me, it's love speaking to me. If it's God leading me, it's love leading me. Romans chapter 5 talks about hope and talks about how that we won't be ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by what? The Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So if it's the Holy Ghost leading me, it'll have love in it every time. This is how I can judge. Was that God that spoke to me? If it was unlove, it wasn't God. No, amen? I'm going to say it again. How do I know that voice I just heard was the voice of God? If it's unlove, it wasn't God. If what you heard God tell you to do is unlove, it wasn't God that told you to do it. The Bible says that Jesus many times was moved with compassion and he began to heal the multitudes. Many times you will just sense compassion for someone. Listen, that's the voice of God in your heart. That's God speaking to you when there's love involved. Look at Romans chapter 13 with me, verses 8 through 10. Owe no man anything but to love one another. In other words, I could say it this way. We do owe a love debt to each other. Now, I know a lot of spirit-filled people don't like that. They like that first part. We don't owe anybody anything. Well, we do owe each other love. We have been given such great love that we have a love debt that we pay daily in our walk with each other. He says, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other thing that's briefly comprehended. In other words, this wasn't an exhaustive list. He just was running out of time. Amen. And he just said, hey, if there's any other thing that isn't right, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Look at verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Wow. All the law was saying in all of its rules, rituals, commandments, was to love God and love each other. Amen. We are not under the law of thou shalt not commit adultery. We're under the law of love your wife. We're not under the law of thou shalt not steal. We're under the law of love each other, get a job, and help people that need help. Amen. And on I could go. I'm not under any of the law of thou shalt not. I'm just under one law of love. So see, the way I know that was God that spoke to me is it's loving people. It's loving God in obedience to it and loving people. God will never tell you to do anything that violates his nature, and that nature is love. is love. And this is how I know when God is leading me. I know when He's speaking to me. I know from the Word of God, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, how to divide what's of my soul and what's of my spirit. And it's the Word of God that discerns and divides the soul from the spirit. Love comes out of my spirit. Impure motives come out of my soul. Selfishness comes out of my soul. In my soul, I worship at the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I. In my spirit, I worship at the holy trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So how do I know? Is this the altar of the holy trinity that's leading me or the altar of the unholy trinity? It'll have love in it every time. If you will use love as a witness, you'll miss God less and less and less. When I looked at giving my stuff away, that's the love of God. That's loving people. That's helping people. And love is a confirmation of that. Years ago, I had a man in my office, and he loved me, evidently, but he was struggling. And listen to me. I say things, and even I regret it afterwards, that I didn't spend a half hour explaining it. We just don't have a half hour. That's why you need to listen to all the different series. But I had to deal with this man. He had fallen in love with what I call a blonde Cambodia refugee lookalike. You'll get it figured out. I don't have time to explain it. And he was trying to convince me he loved her. And I wasn't budging. I don't have to budge on that. I know what the Word of God says. I know what love is, according to 1 Corinthians 13. And so I'm not yielding. I'm not agreeing. I'm saying that is not love. And he's arguing with me. You don't understand, Pastor. This is different. I'm telling you I love her. And I'm telling you she loves me. Well, I saw I was getting nowhere. And so I just backed up and said, in my heart, I'm going to hit this from a totally different angle and see if I can reach this man. And so I said, okay, I believe you love her. Okay, I believe she loves you. And it stunned him. It was like he was ready for a four-hour match. And I mean, I hadn't gone 5 minutes. And I saw this ain't going to work. And so I just agreed, okay, you believe you love her. I'm all right with that. Really? I mean, he was shocked. And so I could see his processing, though. What am I going to do now? And I said, I don't question your love for her. Obviously, you think you love her. But let me ask you a question. Do you love your wife? Do you love your kids? Do you love our church? Do you love me? Do you know he didn't even crack until I said, do you love me? And that's kind of sad. Now, thank God he loved me enough that I cracked him on, do you love me? But it isn't right, saints, for me to love your spouses and me to love your kids more than you love your spouse and you love your kids. That's not right. When I said, do you love me? He teared up and I said, for you to do this is unloved toward me. You're hurting me. You're working ill toward me. You're working ill toward our church. You're working ill toward your wife. You're working ill toward your children. You're working ill toward your unborn grandchildren. Now, what I wish I had time to explain that I don't have time now, I'm just going to say it, and it might complicate it more. I'm not saying that if people have made a mistake and gotten a divorce and done something and they know now it's a mistake, I'm not saying God can't bring good out of it. I'm not saying there's not grace there. I'm saying I want to save the rest of us from not making your mistake by knowing how this is God, because he got deceived thinking it was God. I'm here to tell you it is possible to not be able to discern lust from love. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with looking at you and going, you can't discern right now lust from love. Lust can feel like love. But the Holy Ghost is not going to lead you to work ill toward your family, toward your church, toward me. I've given my life for y'all. I've given my life to fight for your life in healing. I've given my life to fight for your finances. I've given my life to fight for your marriages. I've given my life to fight for your kids. I expect you to do no less. And if God's going to lead us, and the Holy Spirit's going to lead us, he's going to lead us in love. And you can judge everything with Is it love? Because if it's God, it'll be love. If it's your flesh, it'll be unlove. If it's God, it'll be God-focused. If it's your flesh, it'll be self-centered focused. And that's how you judge. And I'm preaching good, and you're responding pretty good. I appreciate you. Because I don't mean these things to condemn anybody or hurt anybody. I'm trying to help us make better decisions as we learn the divine guidance system of God. All right, number four is kingdom protocol, what I call kingdom protocol. There is a protocol that God has put in the scriptures for every time you hear his voice. There's a protocol that God has laid out for you, a GPS, that is kingdom protocol. And it's Romans chapter 14, verse 17. It says, for the kingdom of God is not in meat or drink, but it is in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So watch this. If it's the Holy Ghost speaking to me, if it's the Holy Ghost leading me, if it's the Holy Ghost giving me a vision or a dream, if it's the Holy Ghost prompting me or stirring me or pressing me in my spirit like I've taught you, then it will match up to kingdom protocol every single time. And what is the kingdom protocol? Righteousness, peace, and joy. So when I'm hearing God, it'll always be righteous. It'll have peace with it and joy associated with it. Look at the first one, righteousness, Isaiah 45, 19. I love this scripture. It says in Isaiah 45, 19, I've not spoken in secret. I wish I'd have heard that at church as a teenager. God's not speaking in secret. God's not hiding his voice from you. God's not hiding his will for your life. I'm not speaking, says God, in secret, in dark places of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I didn't say to you that you seeking me will be in vain. Man, we're all seeking God today. Praise be to his name. And we're not doing it in vain. God is meeting with us today. God is leading us today. God is speaking to every one of us today, regardless of your mature level or regardless of your mistakes. He is not speaking in secret. We are not seeking him in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are what? When I hear the voice of God, it's always right. And when you hear what to do that is right, that's God speaking to you. See, many of you have sat there and you've said, well, I don't know that God has ever spoken to me. Have you ever heard on the inside of you what's right? That was God. Amen. Have you ever had to make a decision and you're at a fork in the road and one way is right and one way you're trying to figure out how to make it right? Come on, be honest. I'm not the only one that's done that. How do I twist this road around a little bit? No, and God's speaking to me the whole time in righteousness, do the right thing. God will never tell you to rob a bank to pay the note off on the church. Pastor, I heard God today. What'd he say? I'm supposed to rob the bank and I'm gonna give the money to the church to pay the note off. That wasn't God. Pastor, I've even changed my ways and I've got 60 pounds of cocaine here and I'm gonna go ahead and sell it and give it to the church where you can minister to the poor. You didn't hear God. Amen or oh me. Amen. Just bring it down here. We'll light it on fire and we'll all be happy. That wasn't God. You're laughing at me, but how many times have you heard people, even if you haven't done it, how many times have you heard people say, I heard God, and you know what they're saying is wrong? Amen. That's not God. Your heart may be right. You may be trying to make it out to be God, but he speaks in righteousness. Unlike the politically correct movement of today, unlike that religion in our culture that believes the end justifies the means, in the kingdom of God, the end never justifies the means. God doesn't have a godly end for you and use ungodly ways to get you there. God has a godly end for you and he has godly means to get you there. Hallelujah. That is awesome. And so righteousness is how he speaks. Anytime you hear what is right, that's God speaking to you. And you need to mix faith with it. Now, peace, I'll come back to this because it's my favorite one. Joy. Joy. Notice again that righteousness, peace, and joy is in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is in the Holy Ghost. That's why the kingdom is in you. It's because the Holy Ghost is in you. And so anytime you're operating in the kingdom or the Holy Ghost, those three things will always be there. It's kingdom protocol. There's a joy that comes from hearing God. Again, there was a lady at the Phoenix conference that I only had 5 minutes with, and I was so blessed that she was able to receive because I talked fast to her. But she was struggling with hearing the voice of God. And she was condemned that her husband seems to hear God and his voice, but she wasn't hearing God. And so I said, well, tell me your story. Why do you think you're not hearing God? Just when your husband does hear God, why do you think you don't hear God? When he talks to you about what God said, what do you think you hear? She goes, well, I don't hear anything, but man, I just got this constant joy. I just grinned real big. And man, when I told her that the joy of the Lord is not just your strength, like the scriptures say, joy comes when you hear God. In Mark chapter 4, verse 16, he says, when we receive the word of God, we receive it with gladness of heart. God's word, an answer to a problem, always brings joy. And when I was talking to her, she lit up. Now, let me give you a scripture here and show you what I did for her. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 23, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. And a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Now, why that doesn't directly say what I'm saying, watch this. When you're struggling with something and a friend of yours gives you an answer, what's the first thing that happens? Joy. Man, you're struggling with something for all week long, and you just don't know what to do, and you can't hear God, and you're just depressed over it. And suddenly just a friend goes, well, here's the answer to that, and gives you just a simple, quick answer. What is the first thing that happens? Joy comes. That's that joy in the morning that comes after the darkness. Darkness is when you're confused. The morning is when the light dawns. And just like a person that gives you an answer to a question of your mouth brings joy, when God speaks to you, it always is accompanied with joy. As soon as she saw that, she said, is it kind of like what you're doing right now? You're giving me the answer and the joy of the Lord is all over me. I said, yeah, how much more when you hear God? How much more when you hear God? Now, don't misunderstand me. Sometimes when we hear God, we got to give something up and it pains us. Just act spiritual on this one. Just nod your head. Yeah, man, I've been there. Yeah. Sacrifice many times comes with the voice of God. There's pain sometimes after the flesh and our comfort zone to do what God's telling us to do. But I'm telling you, there's a joy on the inside that's powerful. All right, let's go back to my favorite one. And this one right here has never failed me. Peace. Peace. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. And above all these things, put on charity, God's love, which is the bond of perfectness. It is God's love that binds us together perfectly, saints. It's not the color of our skin that binds us together. It's not our incomes that bind us together. It's not how we were raised that binds us together, our backgrounds. It's not the culture that binds us together. It is the love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts that bind us together in perfectness. He's going backwards, but that's okay. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ also forgave us. That's how we walk out the love of God, is we forgive each other for mistakes. Just like even in the things of God, when we miss it, we forgive each other. It's no big deal missing God. Okay, we need to stop. That's one of the problems with people who hear God is they think they are infallible now. And none of us are infallible. We can all miss God. Not only do we who share the things of God sometimes think we're infallible, many of you that received from someone that heard God, you think now they are infallible. And none of us are infallible. We can miss God. And we need to be just quick to repent and desire to miss God less and less and less. So that's the bond of perfectness. Verse 15 says, and let, that's a choice, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Now listen to me carefully. There is the peace that we have with God that is through the blood of the cross, and then there's the peace of God. We all have peace with God through the blood of the cross. Listen carefully. I have peace with God when I'm right, and I have peace with God when I'm wrong. I have peace with God when I get it right, and I have peace with God when I get it wrong. That's why I can repent when I get it wrong. God isn't mad at me. God isn't turning on me. God is not going to punish me. I can apologize immediately if I miss God or I get it wrong, because I have peace with God throughout eternity because of the blood of God's cross. God will never be angry with me. God will never turn on me. He'll never forsake me. He'll never punish me with curses. He'll correct me and chasten me, but he'll never be wroth with me again. I have peace with God. There is a difference in peace with God and the peace of God. I lose the peace of God when I miss God. I have the peace of God when I mix faith with the leading of God in my life. And so peace is a witness in my life. It is a multiple witness that no matter in my life how many other things line up, if I don't have peace, I don't make a decision in my life. I don't make a decision of high risk about my marriage, my family, our church, till I have the peace of God. I'm going to wait. Why? It says in verse 15, let the peace of God rule. Everybody say rule. In your hearts. The word rule, if you'll look it up in any kind of concordance, the root word for rule is the word umpire. Peace is the umpire in your heart in being led by the Spirit of God. Peace, the peace of God. Again, anyone who's watched a baseball game knows the umpire's final authority. And it doesn't matter if the dude is right or wrong. You know, for years, we didn't have that little box where we could see if the umpire got it right. Now, technology is such that when that umpire says strike, it's a strike even when the machine shows the little box and it was out of the strike zone. The umpire's final authority. If the umpire says you're safe, even if you weren't. You're safe if the umpire says safe. If the umpire says out, you're out. The umpire has final authority and ruling. Have you ever heard the term the ruling on the field? Yeah, Dallas would be in the Super Bowl today. Amen. If it wasn't for goofed up umpires. Amen. We all know Bryant caught that ball. Amen. Look at me. I'm a man of God. He caught the ball. And the ruling on the field in that case was a touchdown. But they went to the lead umpire and the review, and whatever the lead umpire says, that's it. And all of Texas was crying. And Green Bay won that game. But I'm telling you, there's a righteous, just God. Green Bay's loss to Seattle was the worst loss in NFL history. Why? You get what you sow. That win by Seattle was supernatural. Am I making my point? It doesn't matter if he caught it or not. When the umpire says fumble, not a catch, that's it. Do you know you can get to the point in your walk with God? Peace is the umpire. And if you don't have peace, wait on God. Let that make your decision. See, how do you get all the stress? Man, this is so important. How do you get all the stress of life off of you? How do you get all the stress of decision-making off of you? You let the peace of God be the umpire. That I don't know why it's no right now, but the umpire just said no. I lost my peace. That's the umpire. And I don't know, I can't explain to you over the years why I didn't have people agreeing with the decision I'm making, but I had the umpire saying peace. And I did it even though everybody around me was saying this won't work. Did you know no one? It's changed now. There's probably only four people in my life that believe I heard God to give my stuff away. But you know what? I had perfect peace the minute I did it, and I had joy. And to this day, every time, you know, we almost gave away 1 million messages in 1 month. We gave away 900 and something thousand in 1 month. And listen, the first month that we give away 1 million, I'm doing the pawpaw dance. There's joy still. 30 years later, there's still joy and peace in what I'm doing. Why? It's the umpire. The umpire said, give them away safe. And I've followed the umpire my whole life in that. I follow the umpire in how to lead this church. I follow the umpire in our marriage relationship. I follow the umpire in decisions for my kids all those years. If I didn't have peace, there were times that I told them, no, they can't go somewhere. And they would say, why? And I would say, I'm your father. Just trust me in this. I don't have peace about it. And they began to learn by watching me that many times, I guarantee you, God saved my kids from certain things because the umpire said no. Yeah. Amen. Man, this is awesome stuff. Did anybody get anything out of this? Thank you, God. Man, this GPS system will save you from hurting yourself, and it'll save you from hurting other people in the name of God.